What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in the You podcast. I'm with my main man, the StuCast. Stu, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm enjoying the summer vacation. Been watching and listening to your stuff and getting that bug for college football, brother. It's starting to hit. Christmas is coming.
If anybody doesn't know Stu, I mean, this guy is a college football genius. I've never met someone so informative, you know, with his perspective on college football. You can talk about any subject, Hawaii football, UL Monroe football, University of Miami, Clemson Tigers, you name it. The guy has an answer to every single subject, and that's why I appreciate talking to the StuCast. Stu, where can the good people find you?
Well, first off, you're way too kind. Second of all, check me out at StuCast Sports on Twitter. Taking a little break from the podcast, doing some summer fun with the fam. We're going to be back, sporadic shows. We got Alex Marvez coming up this week on the program, NFL on Sirius host, also All Elite Wrestling. And then August, we've already got it planned out. You're coming on. We've got about a dozen different college football guests from national level all the way down to, you know, local team specific and in between. So excited for late July, August, and, excited to talk to Alex this week, but, you know, more excited about some Miami Hurricanes football.
Absolutely. And when this podcast was being recorded, all right, we just got Kamari Rogers, four-star cornerback, actually the highest-rated cornerback Miami has landed commitment-wise. Now, nothing is official, of course, but since 2012. So that's pretty impressive. We just got a new defensive backs coach with Travaris Robinson. Hopefully, we'll land a couple more in the next few days. We'll see what happens. But Stu, this offseason, man, Miami is building in the right direction. What's your perspective on the 2021 Miami Hurricanes? Because I know you're very critical, and I understand why. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of Miami Hurricanes fans are very eager to get back to the glory days, but they had to come down to a level of reality. And sometimes we get a humble pill when we face elite opponents such as Clemson and North Carolina. So, I mean, what's your perspective on this team?
Well, before I answer that, you know, Kamari Rogers, great get. What you want to see is your team beating out other top schools. Right now, the hottest school in the country, Texas A&M, was after him. You just beat him out, beat them out for him. And that's important. That's how you start building victories. I know you've got some big name recruits coming in and out. That's the kind of sign that tells you, okay, this program's healthy. We're moving in a good direction. As for 2021, I mean, it realistically – before I get to the most important position with the biggest question mark, you can look at the defense as has to be better than last year.
Of course.
Hard to replace Jalen Phillips, hard to replace Quincy Roche. You're going to attempt to do that. The linebacking core needs to bump up a little bit. I think with Bolden and some of the guys you have in that secondary getting another year, that defense is going to be better. It just has to be. Offensively, that line is stout. I think they really started to turn a corner towards the end of the season, and I liked what the line was doing for Harris and for De'Eric, blocking wise and protection wise. Really, the big part of offense that I struggled with, and we talked about it a ton, is it's Mike Harley and 17 other guys. And,
that's awesome.
You know, it's this year you get Charleston Rambo coming in, and, you know, that is a very understated, huge transfer, not only to Miami, but in the larger scheme of the ACC, I think. So you're looking at, you have two wideouts. We still have tons of question marks. We know what we've got at running back, and then it comes down to De'Aaron King. And, you know, I'm going to be blunt. I'm not sold yet that he's 100% after I watched him tear his ACL in December. That's a hard sell for me. I know the U family is all about it and the reports are glowing, and that's great. Off-season football, everything's great. It's sunshines and high fives. I need to see it. It's a tough slate of games to see it against, though, because Miami did no favors for themselves with a very hellacious start of the schedule.
I completely agree. I don't understand why we schedule top opponents first game of the season. Florida, LSU, now Alabama. Like, well, okay, like you want to schedule these guys, fine. Why not fourth or sixth, eighth game in? You know, why the first game every single season? So I completely agree. You know, Derek King did tear his ACL. A lot of people are saying that he'll be ready to go by August. Now, you know, he'll be ready to go, busy, 100% healthy, and then you're facing against the reigning national champion. So there's a lot of big question marks for Miami going into this game. And let's say he's not ready to go. They throw in Jake Garcia, who looks phenomenal in his spring game, by the way, Stu. I don't know if you were able to take a look at the Miami Hurricanes.
I saw some of the highlights.
Garcia looked good. He hung up onto the football a little bit, stayed a little flat-footed at times. But, you know, overall, I thought he did very good for a true
freshman. Yeah, he's a freshman. I mean, there's pluses and minuses, you know, in a situation where throwing a freshman out there, I tend to think there's some minuses, and it's not for where Miami's at, for where the program is and where it's supposed to be, especially this year. There's more negatives to me about it, but yeah, sure. Tyler Van Dyke, certainly looked well in the spring game. Jake Garcia is looking well. I feel more comfortable about the quarterback position as a whole. But when you look at Derek King, when he's healthy and when he's on, he's a top five college quarterback. I mean, I made the statement to you before. If I'm starting a college football team and I have a pick in that first round, Derek King's on my board as a guy I want to look at getting because he's so dynamic.
So, Stu, talking about Derek King ready to go against Alabama, I mean, what's your outlook about the Miami Hurricanes facing the Alabama Crimson Tide game one of the regular season? Do you think this is a game where Miami can compete, potentially win the football game, or it's David versus Goliath and Alabama is just going to dominate all four quarters and remind the University of Miami what you were 20 years ago is nothing what you are today?
I think when it comes to Alabama, I mean, there's a lot of transition. This is a year of transition for Alabama, but like a Clemson, like a Georgia, they transition with elite talent at every position. You know, Bryce Young, as much as I was a Paul Tyson fan, Bryce Young has clearly stepped up and people are static about him. I look at Miami against Alabama in a similar fashion as I look at Miami versus Clemson. And the thing about Clemson is that front seven is fast and they get after it and they fly to the ball. When you look at what Alabama's returning back, Christian Harris is the best linebacker in the NCAA. I mean, just without a doubt, the speed, the power. I mean, they lost four guys from that front seven, and they just reload with even more stronger talent. A lot of these guys played last year. So you're getting a lot of guys returning starts, returning snaps on that side of the ball. Highly ranked, secondary. Josh Jobe, I think, is going to be a superstar when it's all said and done in the Minkah Fitzpatrick kind of mold. This defense is stifling. And one thing that we've seen Rhett Lashley struggle with, and it's not because of him, and it's not because of Manny, and it's not because of the talent they have. They just don't have it when it comes to a Clemson. They shouldn't have been blown out by 40 to Clemson. They should have put up more than 17.
When you give up
130 yards. I see that kind of being the issue.
I mean, it's hard to do that when you're so handcuffed with being undisciplined. That's what bothers me under Manny Diaz's tenure as head coach. This football team has been completely undisciplined as a whole, defensively and offensively. And at the end of the day, Manny Diaz is the head coach. Okay, I understand that there's different you know, there's offensive coordinators, there's defensive coordinators, but this as a football team has been entirely undisciplined, and it frustrates me so much, Stu.
In the big games, you've seen undiscipline, and you've seen the talent gap against the elites, which it is what it is, right? But when you have those hand in hand, it can get ugly. I think the one saving grace is Alabama is going to come into this game. They don't blow anybody out of the water first game of the year.
Right.
Last year, you look at Missouri, it was 34-17. Yeah, the Duke game a couple years ago, 28-0. I mean, it's nothing. They're not going to come out and it's going to be 55-12 or 55-10 or something. It's not going to be something like this. But, it's a game where do you want to throw De'Aaron King to the wolves? Because they're going to come after him.
Oh, yes.
And he's going to get hit. And it's going to be one of those games where you're going to have to force passes because I don't see them running the ball effectively against that front seven of Alabama.
I agree. I 100%. I would be in shock if Miami gets over 100 rushing yards with their three running backs.
And look, Alabama has by far the most stacked running back crew in the entire NCAA. Every single guy feels like he is five-star, you know, all world, all platinum, you know, whatever you want to call it. Trey Sanders, you know, is coming back. They've got the number one recruit running back from last year coming back. Brian Robinson coming back. And that offensive line with Evan Neal and crew. I mean, that is ferocious. So it's a scary situation. It's a scary situation, but I wouldn't hold it against Manny and crew. Because, you know, I mean, Alabama's going to take out and really destroy 99% of the clubs out there in college football right now.
So I think a situation where a good matchup for Alabama would be similar to an Ole Miss offense where they can put up 40 points a game. You know, they're just run and gun offense. I mean, they're just going to air it out. You know, they're going to play fast. Lane Kiffin is a great offensive mind. Dan Mullen's a great offensive mind. Like, those programs can put up points. I don't think Miami can put up those points in the SEC elite level.
Well, you know, Paul, what's funny when you bring up Ole Miss is there's special, like, little funny storylines. And part of the reason I love Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin needs to beat Nick Saban. So much like when Gus Malzahn was coach at Auburn, you remember Auburn would beat Alabama and you go, how the hell did that happen? They practiced every single week leading up to the Iron Bowl for Alabama. Ole Miss was doing the same last year. Lane Kiffin was pulling out things with Kenny Yeboah. I think he had like 185 yards. Elijah Moore doing crazy stuff and used much in a Kadarius Toney way we saw in the SEC championship game. They schemed all year for that game. And they had the talent to do so. And yes, Lane Kiffin, a great offensive mind. He thinks out of the box. Brett Lashley's a good offensive coordinator. I just don't know that with what he wants to do with Miami, that's going to be enough out of the box to, you know, stump a Alabama defense, which is pretty much it eats up this spread. Kind of, you know, shotgun offense. It eats it up most of the time, unless you have a Kyle Trask, Pitts, Tony kind of combo. Then it struggles a little bit. But most teams do.
What do you think would be like an ideal score, a realistic score for this game?
A score that makes me happy if I'm a Miami fan. 34-21. 34-17. I'm happy with that.
I think, Miami hangs around to the third quarter. It's a touchdown game, 10-point game, and then Alabama scores. They're on cruise control the rest of the way.
A score that makes me scared?
50-3.
30. I don't think it gets that high, but, you know, something 35-10.
Yeah, 35-7. Well, I'll say this. If Miami doesn't score a point in that game or just a field goal, that's a red flag.
Yeah, well, that's a huge red flag. I only see that happening if De'Aaron King is not playing in that game.
Yeah, no, I agree. If there's a true.
And even then, that's even scary because Alabama will put second teamers in quick.
I think Alabama's second team can honestly, I mean, take control of that football game as well.
It's still a ranked team. Their second team.
Yeah, exactly. That's the scary part of college football. But regardless, Stu, I know you've been really focusing in on your favorite team in college football out of Boone, North Carolina, Appalachian State. I mean, you can tell me about these kids' life stories. You're obsessed with App State football. I don't know why. I think Miami should win that game. If they lose to App State, the Manny Diaz's seat, it's going to be obliterating, literally. But I mean, what intrigues you about this matchup? Because you think App State will be a good fight against Miami, and I don't know why. Because they're
with what they've done with the schedule, App State is as good of a football team as they're going to play for most of the season. I think App State, as I'm starting to go over divisions and conferences and take a look at the whole landscape for the upcoming year, I start low, I work my way up. So I started in the Fun Belt because it is the Fun Belt. It's exciting.
I don't get it. Nothing. Hey, like, is Coastal Carolina in the Fun Belt? That's how lost.
Yeah, Coastal Carolina, Louisiana Monroe, all the big teams that me and you watch.
Coastal Carolina, not UL Monroe. That's your agenda.
Yeah. I like the Warhawks. So App State, you know, I think they're a really interesting team because you're going to see a quarterback, and it's very reminiscent of UAB last year when UAB came in to Miami to play, in that UAB was a good team last year. I think this App State team coming into play is a good team, but slightly ahead of where I would put UAB last year. And UAB was a bowl team, a 7-win team that, if I'm correct, I think they won the Conference USA.
And they should Bill Clark. That's a solid football team.
I think they're going to win the Conference USA again this year. I think App State wins the Fun Belt this year. This team is in contention. If we're going to put Cincinnati in the group of non-Power Five as like the top leader in the clubhouse, because I think Cincinnati pulls an upset over either Indiana or Notre Dame. I'm putting that out there right now. If Cincinnati's not going to be it, I would put App State in contention to be right underneath. And it's because of two things, really. First of all, Chase Bryce, a guy you've seen, Miami fans have seen at Duke last year. Look, that system didn't fit him. There wasn't a ton of talent there. And, you saw moments. I think the Notre Dame game stands out. He was making some really nice passes. But at the end of the day, when you just don't have that talent around you and the system kind of works against you and not letting you open it up a little bit, it's a detriment. I think moving into App State really helps him what he wants to do, because he's a really good play action, throw down field kind of quarterback. And that's what App State wants to do, because Cameron Peoples at running back he's a very good quality running back, a kid, I think, only as a sophomore. You're going to see him go to the NFL as a 6th, 7th undrafted, rookie type thing, much like who's the kid that backs up Derrick Henry in Tennessee? I forget. I'm not a Tennessee Titan guy, but that's what you're dealing with. And then on the flip side, I think their defense, and I'm going to go out on a little bit of a limb here, is a top 15 defense in college football. This defense is for real. It's got a ton of experience, a ton of talent. And this is a game that's going to be a lot tougher than, oh, we got App State.
I believe you. I believe it's going to be a lot tougher than what it looks on paper. I think it will actually be a close game throughout a couple, three quarters going into the fourth quarter. I really do. I do still.
That UAB game was what, 28-14?
It was a close game. It was a close game.
Yeah, I mean, until the fourth quarter, it was close.
I agree. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami is up 10 in the fourth. They get a late touchdown. It looks like 34-17, 41-27 per se. I think Miami will win the game, but I think it's going to be a 2-touchdown win.
I think it's a great game. The Alabama game is just throw it out. It does, to me, it doesn't count. The season starts with App State.
Agree.
Because that you're going to find out a lot about the team. You're not going to find out a ton against Alabama. You're just not. I mean, it's apples and oranges.
Well, you could find out some things.
I mean, sure, you're going to find out some things. You're going to find out real quick how good this run defense is. You're going to find out very quickly.
Linebacker core.
Yeah, you're going to find out how good it is and what steps have been made. App State is going to be the real test to that, because App State really just primarily a running team, running play action.
That's
what's going to be interesting, because they're not the only ones. Yeah. They're not the only ones that Miami's going to come up against that's the, you know, modus operandi, so to speak. I've been watching a lot of Matlock. So
a home game, Miami's first home game. It's probably, you know, there's going to be more people than I expect for a regular first home game of the season, because last year, obviously, things were very restricted. What's your score prediction on that?
I am going to go Miami 24, App State 20.
That's fair. I would say that's fair. I think Miami will win the game. I agree with Stu. It's going to be a lot closer than people think. But, you know, we'll see what happens. That's why they play the game. But I think Miami will win the football game for its first home opener in 2021.
In truth, it's one of the games I'm most excited about in the first 3 weeks. And a lot of people won't say that, but I find it super interesting. It'll be a fun game to watch.
Now, after that game, you know, we play your alma mater, the Michigan State Spartans. They're coming down to Hard Rock Stadium. I know you got tons of things to talk about Mel Tucker, who is a great head coach. It is literally transfer portal U. They're bringing in a ton of transfer portal players.
17 this offseason.
That's more than Manny Diaz has ever done. I mean, that's a complete
yes. Right there. Yeah. We've gotten rid of 25 players, brought in 17.
I mean, what do you think about Michigan State going down to Hard Rock Stadium? I think this is a more interesting matchup than App State, because of the fact they beat Northwestern and they were god awful this past season. And Northwestern was a very good football team that gave Ohio State a lot of trouble in the Big Ten championship. I think Michigan State can show up some games. I really do.
Here's the interesting part about it. And this is something I know me and you are going to deep dive, in a future episode, this specific game, because I think there's a lot of parts to it. But essentially, when you bring up Northwestern, beating Michigan last year, all the games last year, Michigan State was working with guys that, for lack of a better word, and there's, you know, there's reasons behind it, MAC level talent. The playbook was not open. So we don't actually know really what Mel Tucker wants to do. I think there was some glimpses of it in the Penn State game where you're running shotgun spread, trying to incorporate some RPO type fundamentals, but that was the last game of the year. He didn't really open up the playbook. They had no running game. They didn't have an offensive line. The defense was, you know, it was okay. They stood up hard and they played hard, but it's just not the guys he wants that to build a program around. So coming into this year, I can't tell you much about what they want to do. I can tell you they want to run a 4-2-5. And they have the linebackers in Quaveris Crouch, a all SEC linebacker from Tennessee that transferred in.
Okay.
They have Atavius Brown, the top recruit in the history of Minnesota football, that transferred over. And they've got a few other linebackers that are really interesting. I can't tell you much, except I think they made you hear out of training camp and off season a concerted effort. They want to run the ball and they want to create a little bit more sideline to sideline action with how they call defensive plays. You're going to see a lot of transfers. You're going to see guys from Alabama, guys from Florida, guys from Tennessee, guys from Michigan, guys from Minnesota, Wake Forest. I mean, the whole team is going to – most of the starters are going to be transfers. And luckily we have like a, you know, at least some kind of replica for this, for what Greg Schiano did at Rutgers.
Yeah.
Right. Last year, that team was nine new starters from transfers. That's kind of what it's going to be. And it's a great experiment. I wish I could give you more. I don't know what Miami's facing, other than to say Michigan State is a lot more talented.
That's a lot more talented than
they were.
That, because it's a new team. It's a complete different personnel, new quarterback. Yep. That gives the edge to Michigan State. Now, I will say they do have two games to look at Miami's, you know, perspective on the situation, so they'll get a better idea. But that's that. I think Miami's on upset alert that week.
I it's a hard game if you're gonna after Alabama, and then you got App State.
Who creates the schedule?
And like, then you honestly, got Michigan State.
Who creates the schedule?
I will say, without a doubt, it's the hardest non-conference schedule in the country, in my mind.
Why? Why do we bring this upon ourselves as a program? I love how Notre Dame doesn't schedule anyone except for like the last, like week 11 of the college football season. That is pretty smart, because at that stage, you're in the hunt for the college football playoffs or a good bowl game in the rankings. You're probably in the top 10. You get a good win in that key matchup when your program is really either it's sinking offensively, or maybe you might have an injury. That's the only con of that, where you have an X player out. But that's very smart what they do. They have a very easy schedule. Then week 11, they actually play a tough opponent, whether it's University of Southern California, Michigan, whoever it may be. They always play someone very hard at the end of the season, if you notice. But hey, Miami does the opposite. They get out the way early, which I never understood.
Well, the problem is, you know, Notre Dame is an independent. So, I mean, for the time being, until they join the ACC full time. So they get that luxury, right? So.
Gotta love them, man. Gotta love them. Stu, so what would be your prediction right now for Michigan State, Miami?
Brother, I wish I had one. I have no idea what this
it's
team
unknown.
Is.
It's unknown.
I've seen early line. I saw an early line where Miami was laying 17.5 points.
That's a lot.
I will say if somebody offered me that today, I would be betting a small fortune on Michigan State. I think it's a closer game than 17 points, but I couldn't even tell you because, again, that game is going to really depend on, is De'Ara King healthy game three? I could see him really cutting up a Michigan State defense. What is the Michigan State offense? What is it? What do they do? Nobody knows. So it'll be a fun game to watch.
Now, I think the other game that a lot of Miami Hurricanes fans are circling, because if you lose this game, you probably lose the Coastal, okay? This will be the third year in a row this opponent beats you. And it will kind of say, you know, where are we as a program? You know, if, let's say we lose to Alabama, we lose to UNC. Have we really improved as a program, or have we just stayed the same? And that's the University of North Carolina. This is a team that literally demolished us by like, I think it was like 40. At home, it was night and day the difference. I mean, what do you think about this 2021 North Carolina Tar Heels? Will they win the ACC Coastal once again? Oh, no, I guess in a way they did win the Coastal because Notre Dame is not a part of the ACC and they played for the Orange Bowl. But will they show out once again this upcoming season?
I think you look at this whole thing and you go, okay, well, Michael Carter's not there. Javonte Williams is gone. But you bring in Ty Chandler, who, you know, part of that mass exodus from Tennessee. He's a guy that fits that same mold.
One running back compared
they're
to
they're going
to
run the – yeah, sure. But with what Mac Brown does, that offense is still clicking along. Sam Howell's in a money year trying to make that money, so they're going to open him up. Defensively, you know, you lose Surratt, which I think was the linchpin of that defense. But, you know, this is a team that, I'll be honest, I was shocked at how well they played against Texas A&M in the Cotton Bowl, believe it's the Cotton Bowl this past season. I was genuinely impressed. And I say that because Texas A&M was, in my mind, the fourth best team in the country last year, especially towards the end of the season. I don't think Florida would have beat them. I mean, they did beat Florida. I think Alabama would have struggled with them had they played them later in the season instead of early in the season. And Texas A&M really struggled with North Carolina. It wasn't until the fourth quarter, you know, capitalizing on a mistake here and there and playing that slow-paced Jimbo Fisher offense that got to them. I think North Carolina is – you got to beat them. Until then, Miami reminds me of Penn State. They are Penn State, where they're going to be good, and we're just going to wait until we have an opening, and that'll be when we have our big season.
If you're a fan of subscription boxes, well, you got to check out Moint Meats. There's some of the best meat subscription boxes from family farms out there. They include grass-fed, grass-finished beef, lamb, pork, chicken, and wild-caught salmon. This is some of the best, freshest poultry meat you're going to find from subscription boxes. Moink Meat. Go check them out. So, Stu, I think that's a great analogy. Miami, Penn State, I really do. I mean, we haven't won any of the big games yet, nor shown up for those big games. You know, a lot of people think Manny Diaz, as of right now, you know, that's the question mark. When is his signature win going to come? Because we have not seen it. We'll see. I think UNC would be a nice win. Do you think Miami can win the ACC Coastal?
I think we got to see how NC is kind of playing. I think you at this point, yes, you can envision Miami being this maybe is the year. I think Clemson is this is probably the year you want to try and play them, because I think they're only going to get better from here. For me, Miami's floor, it's more about Miami's floor, and I think Miami's floor is high. The ceiling is obviously college football playoff if everything went right. But I think the floor is high where it's a 7-8 win team. But we're just middling, right? We're middling at that point. Miami's going to a bowl game, so that's not a concern anymore. We know this is not going to be a team that we're ashamed to be fans of or watch. But are we going to be Penn State where – it's 8-9 wins, and we're going to play in the Outback Bowl or the Citrus Bowl. And, hey, we're there on a January 1st game, just not the game we want.
Now, do you think that's Manny Diaz, or do you think there's a different head coach that can ride the ship at the University of Miami? What's your perspective on Manny Diaz as a head coach? I know he's only in year three. His time at Miami still has not been written, his story. And a lot of coaches have not had great success early on. Dabo Sweeney, it took him more than a while at Clemson. Kirby Smart had fairly immediate success in his second season, making it to the college football playoff, I believe, from a 7-5 season. So what are your thoughts?
So for me, I kind of worry. The fan base, I think, gives him a little bit too much grief. I think Manny, like you said, he's in his third year. I think what you got to see him building, what he's doing recruiting wise, what he's doing with the staff. You know, I think we can all agree that the staff is in a better shape. Recruiting's in a much better shape. I mean, just last year, Florida in the Florida fan base was all up in arms and worried about what Miami's doing on the recruiting trail, until they were able to go to Palmetto and get a couple kids, right? He's making people notice, and he's a player in the right space. He needs more time. My only concern is I don't know if Miami is able to make that jump into the 5-6 teams that we have right now that kind of rotate superiority in some form or fashion. I don't know that Miami can jump into that. I'm kind of interested. Once we get to this 12-team playoff, Miami, Manny Diaz and where he's going to be, I think can position Miami to be in that 12-team playoff on a regular basis. Not every year, not year in, year out, but I think you'll have some spurts where a couple years and then you rebuild a little bit and then a couple years. You know what I mean? I think Manny's the right guy for the gig right now. And I'll give him a couple more years. I like to give coaches 5 years. I think your fifth year needs to be the exclamation point, but he's certainly not at a Kirby Smart deal where if Kirby doesn't win the Natty this year, he's gone. He's not at a Jim Harbaugh level where, you know, he's basically waiting to get fired. So I like Manny, and I'm excited by what he's done.
You know, I think the thing I'm worried about is like modern day college football. Like, I don't know if Miami has enough resources to maintain a staff like we've seen at Clemson. I understand Alabama reloads coaches every single season, but they don't miss.
Rehab you.
When they reload, they do not miss with the next coach that comes in. They do not miss, whether it's offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, any position. They just reload every time. And I'm worried if Miami can do that. Because when Manny Diaz hired his offensive coordinator, Dan Enos, that was a complete miss. It was a one and done. It was awful. Now he's the
OC. Where did Dan Enos come from? He came from that Saban coaching.
And we got the wrong one.
Well, it doesn't always work out. And certainly I think if you have friends and connections close to that program, there's pluses and negatives, you know. I think with what Manny's done staff-wise, you have to be for where Miami is. Look, you've got your geographically positioned in one of the most talent-rich areas for college football players in the country. South Florida and the 405 is right up at the tippy top of the best Georgia can offer, the best Louisiana can offer, et cetera, right? So you're there. You're a brand. You have a brand name. Facilities are okay. That's where I feel like there is that drop, because you're not playing on campus. You're kind of away from things. The game day experience that really, really talks to recruits is a little, you know, it's a little different compared to the other big boys. But I wouldn't say necessarily Miami is completely out of it. I wish the university put more into the football team. And the football team, let's not mince words, is what made that university big time.
Yeah, I mean, athletics puts program universities on the map admission-wise. Why do you go to Clemson, South Carolina? Well, they're good at football now.
Hey, okay. Michigan's got a $12 billion endowment. It ain't because, you know, the law school's really good.
Michigan is a good school. So is the University of Miami. But, you know, I definitely do agree, you know, that game day feel, you know, just that atmosphere on game day, the history, the programs, you know, facilities, you know, former players, NFLU development.
Yep.
People want to go to a winning program, a winning culture. They want to play with the best coaches. So look at Ohio State. You know, they go into any state and they grab who they want easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Ohio State does that with impunity.
Stu, to close out this segment, man, who are some programs you think are on the rise this upcoming season to look out for? And who are your programs on the decline? We can do three of each.
Three of each. Okay. Programs on the rise. Let's go with that. First, foremost, Texas A&M. I love what Jimbo Fisher's doing. Recruiting wise, talent wise, I think everything that he's putting together is just elite. And to be honest, I think the SEC West is the most interesting division of college football year in, year out, this year being no different. But I think Texas A&M can give Alabama a run. If there's a team out of the West, give me Texas A&M. In College Station over Alabama as being possibly we get a new new team in the SEC championship game. Cincinnati, I mentioned them a little bit earlier. You know, I'm really high on Jacob Ford this year. Desmond Ritter's back. That defense, even though you lose Marcus Freeman as a defensive coordinator, he that defense that Fickell has brought is talented. And they play Indiana. They play Notre Dame. Notre Dame's rebuilding. Indiana, I'm still not sold on Indiana with a Jack Tuttle-led offense. We'll see. Again, Michael Penix coming off that same kind of deal De'Aaron King is. Going to be interesting to see what happens because his injury happened a month prior, right? And Jack Tuttle is still being penciled in as the starting quarterback. Might be something to monitor. But Cincinnati can certainly make a Power Six bowl or group of six. What I don't even know what their New Year's Six, whatever they're calling them. So Cincinnati would be the other one. And then I think a program on the rise, third one. I would naturally say Michigan State or an App State would be on that list for me. Since I already talked about them, I'll give you Boston College. And I say that because I really liked what Phil Yurkovich did last year. I thought that team was moments away. Probably should have won that Vatek game before it started downpouring rain. Had moments where they probably could have been a little bit more competitive. I mean, they gave Notre Dame a real strong run for their money. I think Boston College, you know, freshened up an extra year of experience. I think that's something to be mindful of. Three teams on the downside. Well, number one is Michigan. I'm going to come out here right now and say Michigan doesn't win seven games. Arizona State, for obvious reasons. I who knows if they're even going to play the full season, if Herm Edwards is even going to be the coach come midseason. So that's an easy layup. And then maybe a team, nothing pops to mind in the SEC, ACC, not really. Big Ten already gave you Michigan. It's hard to give you a team on the decline. I'll say Michigan again because I hate them so much.
Love it. No, I agree. I think Michigan is on the decline. You know, Jim Harbaugh, nothing's happening there. Nothing at all. There hasn't been any progress. The quarterback position has been just a turning table of quarterbacks coming in. There's been no great players. McCaffrey was a complete swing and miss. You bring in guys like Jabril Peppers, Donovan People-Jones. You utilize them poorly. Their entire offense is just awful. There's just
You don't utilize them at all.
Exactly. Poorly. There's just nothing going on in Michigan. I cannot stand Jim Harbaugh. I think he's the oddest and weirdest personality ever. It's not even a cool personality. Like Mike Leach is like kind of funny, you know, like this guy's just weird. He goes like, I don't even want to get into it. I don't even want to waste my energy with that guy.
Well, I'll say this. I am pretty positive this will be his last year. I think when you look at the Big Ten East, Maryland's a team on the come up. Maryland's a very big, this team with Talia.
I heard that last year with Minnesota. I heard the same thing with Minnesota last year from everyone. And guess what?
Well, the problem with Minnesota, I think you can look at COVID hit that team extremely hard. I mean, it was a tough year for Minnesota. I mean, when they played Michigan, I think they only had one returning starter on defense and like the other 10 guys were out with COVID. I think we got to pump the brakes a little bit on that. But Maryland, Indiana, Michigan State, Rutgers is not a joke. Rutgers can take – took Michigan to three overtimes last year. Penn State is still returning some talent. Ohio State, obviously. Big Ten East is very competitive. I think with Michigan, they're going to have a real problem with that. And then they have this whole scandal going on, which, you know, folks, it's too long to get into here, but if you want to type in Michigan football scandal and read about what's going on up there, that's going to be something that haunts them all this year. And a team that's not returning a ton of talent defensively or offensively, it's going to be some tough times. Plus, they're going to lose week two at Washington.
Stu, it was a pleasure speaking with you, man. Always greatly informative on the state of college football, regardless of what team, Michigan, Michigan State, Miami, Florida Atlantic. The guy knows it all. Where can the good people find
you? Go Owls.
Go Owls.
thanks again, Paul. And I'll tell you what, it's been great to have a friendship with you and get to talk with you. And I can't wait to see you Orange Bowl week. Maybe if you're not too busy, you can come party with us up in the suite. But at StuCast Sports, check us out. We'll be back. Alex Marvez coming up this week. Come late July, August, Phil Steele. Got some dudes from the SEC network. We've got some friends of ours. Shout out to Jay Boy. He's on the Believe Network. Tons of folks from all across the country giving you college football news.